quite a lengthy time in preliminaries. I may have said all I need to say this morning. You take your time as you feel led. I don't want you to rush through anything. And no, you do. I want you to take the time because I've said a lot already, more than I intended, but I'm glad I had that. You okay, Bert? Everything you need?
Yes, sir.
All right, we love you, brother.
God bless you.
Brother Darrell Hingham.
Thank you so very, very much. It's so very good to be with you today. I was really kind of hoping that Brother Gary would just continue on and walk right up here and preach to us, because he's such a compassionate man and he talks to us as we are friends. And he says that we are his friends. Jesus also said, "Ye are my friends." How wonderful is that? It's a precious thing that we have a friend in Jesus to walk with us, talk with us, listen to us, guide us, be with us in our heart. It's a precious, precious thing. You know, there's a scripture. Let me see if I can find it. He always brings those that are buried back in here somewhere. I think it's about the 146th Psalm. In the fifth verse.
Yes.
Something that we should hold so dear, and to recognize what God has done for us. It says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Now I'm happy for that reason.
Amen.
I'm happy about life, and I'm happy about living because he lives, as we sang.
Amen.
Because he lives. He has showed us all goodness. All the wonderful things of life come from the Father in heaven. It's a precious, precious thing that we have that friend in Jesus. I'd like to read a little bit in the book of John that we might understand how much Jesus loved his friends. How much he loved us. The love of Jesus and the love of God is beyond our comprehension. But he passes it on to us and through us among one another, that we can feel his presence, that we can feel his greatness, his awesomeness, when we're gathered together to lift his name up. 15th chapter of John, and I'm going to skip down to the 11th verse, because I still want to hear this man preach. This church is so very, very blessed to have this pastor. And I'm not setting him on a pedestal. I'm pointing to God, because that's what he always does. He tells us about Jesus and all the good things he does for us. And he's sincere about it. He's compassionate about it. Enough for that. But because he lives, we live. Even though we might be in prison with a warden. I had to throw that in there. These things have I spoken unto you. This is Jesus Christ. This is in the red letters in your Bible. It's from His mouth. We should all live through the every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Think upon these things. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what Jesus does for us. He fills us with that Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is something that is so much higher than what we think it is. Joy in Christ, happiness in Christ, is a different thing than this world. Than the happiness that you get because you just bought a new car or whatever. It has nothing to do with materialistic things. There is a contentment within you because of what God has done for you. That old song, the natural man cannot understand it, that says it's oh so sweet to die. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we are headed for a kingdom that is awesome. In this world, we have a little taste of that kingdom. In this world, we have the kingdom of heaven that we can press into, that we can feel, that we can know the joy of the wonders of Jesus. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have an eternity. Yes. This life is but a vapor. It's going to be gone before you know it. But did you know that eternal life is the knowledge of Jesus Christ? It's a precious, precious thing what He's given us. This is my commandment. He has put His joy within us. I have put my laws in their inward parts, in their hearts, in their minds. Right. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Listen to what He tells us. This is my commandment. That one that loves us with an everlasting love is giving us a commandment. Yeah. Right here from the mouth of God. Not the old law from Moses. It's all summed up in the great commandments, what Jesus tells us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know how much Jesus loves you? I can't even comprehend it. Love is, all I can say is what the Scripture says. God is love. That's what love is. All the good things come from heaven above. He teaches us. He takes us down the right path. If we trust in Him, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not upon thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. Do we do that? I do it every once in a while, and I'm so glad that I do. Do we believe in God? We must believe that He is. If any man comes to God, he must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do we diligently seek Him? Are we just trying to get through day after day and try to make that extra dollar after dollar that we might have something of this world? My dear friends, that's not where it's at. Where it's at is in the love of Jesus. How much He's loved us, how much He has shown us that we can love one another. All we have to do is be obedient to His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, is what He says. Do you love Him? Of course you do. He's the goodness that's within you. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We got some growing to do, don't we, brothers and sisters? We have to get away from those things that we look at our brother and sister in animosity in any way. We have to look through that veil, look through his flesh, look through the veil into the inner man, which is led by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he's in you. I can see it. When your eyes start getting big and you're thinking about Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful, magnificent thing.
Amen.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man. Think about this. Than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends, that we would have, that God would see our sin no more? Think about that. He died on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
And that blood redeemed you back to God. There's a little difference between redemption and salvation. Redemption cost the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're redeemed to God because of what Jesus did. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends.
Yeah,
if you do whatsoever I command you. We've got to follow the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is written in this book. If you do it, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
Do you believe that He is? Do you believe that Spirit that fills you today? Is He with you as you walk in this life? Our precious, precious Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. I was thinking on the way up here. It's just a darkness of doldrum out there without Christ. I am lost without Christ.
Amen.
You are too.
Amen.
You can be lost in your own mind with all the negative things of this world. He says, ye are not of this world. I have overcome the world, what Jesus said. Come unto me that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is peace for your soul. Think upon Him. Pray upon Him all the time, unceasingly. Act like you are His because you are. You're a purchased possession for what He did. He brought you nigh to God. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh unto you. We got something to do, brothers and sisters. And it's well rewarded. We get this feeling of ecstasy when we come together and we look in one another's eyes and see another that believes like you do, and you see that corn of wheat that multiplies. We're going to be like Jesus someday. We'll be changed. This whole body will be changed.
Amen.
We're going to be like Him.
Amen.
That's why it's so sweet to die. Because we're going to be like Him.
Yeah.
We're not going to have the doldrums anymore. We're not going to have the negative things all around us. It's all good when we're with Jesus Christ and when we see His face.
Amen.
God bless you for being here today. Thank you for your good attention. I love each and every one of you.
You don't listen very well. You preach good. God bless you. That was good, brother.
Thank you.
Good. Thank the Lord for that. He didn't sound like he was done to me. Sounded like he was just getting started.
a great, great blessing to feel the Lord's presence. Certainly did in the preaching of the gospel that we've heard already. I ask your prayers for me as I stand before you for just a little while. I don't intend to be here long. I do have some thoughts found in the scripture in John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me there. We'll read them in your hearing. And pray the Lord just give us liberty to be able to share with you the gospel. What a blessing it is, as the hymn writer said, love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. And that story is not just a story that's a make-believe or any kind of a make-believe story, but it's the truth. It's a declaration of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what Jesus has done for His people. Here in John chapter 3, we see an account of one of God's little children, I believe, that comes to the Lord, comes inquiring of the Lord and looking to the Lord, which I think shows an evidence of a change that had taken place in the life of this individual. He was a man that, by his very position, believed and had been taught that righteousness came by the law and the keeping of the law, and no doubt had been very active in trying to be righteous, or if he was sincere at all, trying to be righteous before God by his works. And that's true of so many of God's little children here in this world today, that they are born of the Spirit of God and they belong to the Lord, but they're going about, rather than submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God, they're going about to establish their own righteousness, and that by keeping a commandment or by keeping the law, becoming very self-righteous in that, because they begin to look at others as if they're not doing it and I'm doing it. I'm keeping the law. I'm living right. I'm doing the things that are good enough to have fellowship with God. They desire to have communion with the Lord by their good works down here, and are trusting in being able to go home to heaven based on those good works. And that's where they're dependent. And a man of this world might have that kind of idea and thought if he has no Spirit of God in him at all, and feel okay about it. But I'm telling you, a little child of God will never feel okay about that. They'll never feel okay about it down here. They'll be all right as far as heaven is concerned because they belong to the Lord. But I'm telling you, while they live here on this world, they're going to have trouble. There's a great burden that many of God's children are carrying today, where they're trusting in what they've done to get them to heaven rather than in what the Lord has done. The Bible, as we preach the gospel, that's one of the things that the gospel does. The gospel shines a light. Now the light, just like the light that comes from the sun, doesn't benefit the dead because the dead can't see it. They don't have the ability to receive it. But it does benefit the living. It is necessary and needful for the living. That's what this really is all about. It tells about the new birth. We'll read the account of Nicodemus and where he came to the Lord by night. Nicodemus, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That tells us a lot about who Nicodemus was. He was a Pharisee. He wasn't just one of the regular Pharisees. He was a ruler among the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are those who believe that righteousness came before God by keeping the law, and he was a ruler among them. So you can imagine what he had been used to teaching and what he had been used to preaching. But he hears and the words and sees the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees something there that he cannot deny that attracts him. And he's motivated. Many of the Pharisees heard Jesus and they didn't desire to come ask him any questions. They hated him and despised him because what he said put everything they said to question. Not only that, it put them out of their position. They were like in that parable of the one who had the vineyard, the one who owned the vineyard, and sent his servants to deal with the householders that were in charge of the vineyard. And when the servants came, they treated the servants bad because the servants told them the truth. It was like Israel. When the Lord sent prophets to Israel to rebuke them and to teach them rather than love them and embrace them, they despised them. And so he sent more prophets, and they did the same thing. And finally, he sent his son. And you would think they would have received the son, but they despised him as well. And he would have despised, this man would have despised him, had it not been something in him that wasn't of him. Something done for him that he could not do for himself. And Jesus is about to explain that to him. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus. And we don't see him coming here trying to trick Jesus. We don't see him coming here asking questions like many of the Pharisees did to try to fool him. We see him asking questions, but the reason he was asking questions is because he had a dissatisfaction. I believe he had a dissatisfaction in his doctrine. I believe he had a dissatisfaction in where he was. I believe he had an experience in his life that allowed him to see, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I see something in Jesus that only the Lord could allow him to see. I ask you, do you see something in Jesus that only the Lord today can allow you to see? If you do, he's the one who awakened you. He's the one who gave you life, and he's about to tell him that. I believe there's a world of God's little children that are outside of the old Baptist church, outside of even the drippings of the gospel. I believe that God has a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. It's not everybody, but it's an innumerable company that no man can number. Out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, there's a little remnant that is blessed to see and understand the truth. And they are to declare the truth, but I believe there are many of God's little children out there in this world that fall into this same category as a Nicodemus, that have been going about trying to get themselves good enough to serve God. You've seen them along the way, haven't you? They are hard workers. They're full of zeal. They're doing everything that you think they think they can do, and everything that men tell them to do in order to get this thing sure. But rather than feeling better about things, they feel worse about things and they don't have any peace. They're working hard. You might know right now in your mind some that are definitely God's little children that you see out here in this world, but they're not resting in what Jesus did for them. They're trying to do something to make sure what Jesus did for them becomes real to them. Can I tell you today, there's nothing you and I can add to the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't anything that's needed to be added to it, nor is there anything we can take from it, because Jesus, being God, did this work, and nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it, but men should fear before Him, recognizing Jesus, when He came to save, did what He came to do. He accomplished what He came to do. And if you desire that, have a love for that, He's already done something for you that you could not do for yourself. And rather than trying to add to His work, we should accept that which He has done for us, and then get about what His work for us to do. And that is simply to proclaim the wonderful, merciful, gracious work of a finished Savior. And I love to tell that story, because it doesn't bind men up. It doesn't make them sad. It makes them happy, right, brother? That's what the psalm says. Happy is a man whose trust is not in the princes of this world, whose trust is not in themselves, whose dependency is not in what they can do for the Lord, but the one who's recognized, if I'm left to myself, I am in trouble. Nicodemus needed to learn this lesson, and he, being like us, sometimes we get so naturally minded. He was naturally minded. Just because a man's naturally minded at times doesn't mean he's spiritually dead. Now, if he's naturally minded all the time and there is no spiritual life in him, that's all he can have. And he may be indeed spiritually dead. But God's little children who are born of the Spirit of God and have the capability to reason and think spiritually can at times get so naturally minded that we can't see, what is it, your nose and despite your face or whatever, we can't see anything. We're seemingly in the dark. And Nicodemus was designed. He saw something that the world couldn't teach him. He was afraid to even come in the daytime to see this master, because it meant a lot, it cost a lot to follow Jesus. And he had a position to protect. And so you see this conflict in Nicodemus. going on between the flesh and the spirit against the flesh. You ever feel that conflict in you where you know exactly what the Lord would have you to do? You read it in His Word and you know what it says, and yet your old flesh says, well, that's going to cost me a lot if I do that. There's going to be some things I've got to give up. And that battle's going on all the time. And I hate to say it, but there's sometimes, seemingly many times in me, that the old flesh seems to win out. Does that mean I'm not His child? I hope not. You hope not too, don't you? The fact is, if you have the battle, that's an evidence that you're His child. If you have the warfare, that means He's done something for you. If He's talking to you, if He receives you, if you know to come to Him, if you understand something's wrong, do you know something's wrong with you? You say, oh boy, I know that. Well, let me tell you, if you know something's wrong with you, grace has already manifested itself in your life. Otherwise, you would be completely content with what you could do for the Lord, and all you would say is, okay, well, just tell me what to do and I can get her done. I lived under that doctrine for a while in my life, and the more I tried to do it, I've said it many times, it was like trying to clean a window with dirty water. The more I washed the window, the dirtier it got. And I tried to wash my life up. I tried to be good enough. I tried to act good enough and behave good enough. But I found what Paul said, I'm a wretched man. Sin is mixed in all that I do. When I would do good, I find evil present with me. And I knew there was a holy and a righteous God who not only demanded my willingness to be right, but I had to be right. And if my righteousness is what was going to get me there, I'm going to fall short. Do you feel that? And I believe that's what Nicodemus was having trouble with. And I believe that's why he came. He came to Jesus by night and he said unto him, listen, he didn't come disrespecting him. He didn't come to trick him. He said, Rabbi, which means you're a great man, you're a great teacher. He had enough sense, though he didn't know everything that he was about to be taught. He had the knowledge to know where to come. I hope you and I have the understanding today of knowing where to come. I've got to come to Him. If I'm going to learn anything today, I've got to come to Him. He's going to be my help. He's my counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He is my peace. He's my light. He's my strength. He's my salvation. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. If I'm going to have anything today, all spiritual blessings are in Him. There's no spiritual blessing outside of Him. So I must come to Him for what I need. And Nicodemus knew that. How did he know that? I'm telling you, he had faith. And that faith was a gift of God. He didn't get it on his own. Amen. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, how did he know that? There were a lot of them that saw his miracles. And they said, the devil gave him the power to do that. Those blasphemers said that out of their mouth. I'm telling you, Nicodemus knew better than that. How did he know better than that? Because he knew God. And how did he know God? Because God knew him. Do you know God today? If you know God, it's because He knows you. He knew you before you ever knew Him. And He called and spoke to you and allowed you to be able to see Him. If I stood up here and told you there is no God, you'd simply say, I hope you all would say, that man must be a fool, because the Bible says the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. So the Bible declares him to be a fool. And because I can see Him, I see Him in the hills, I see Him in the mountains, I see Him in the rainbows, I see Him in the power of the storms, I see Him in the raindrops that fall and the snowflakes that cover the earth. I see Him every day, every hour. I see Him in the ants that crawl along the ground and the sparrows and everything declares unto me. His nature, His creation declares unto me that He lives. Not a weak God, but a mighty God. He made the heavens and the earth. He keeps the stars right where they are. They are the work of His fingers. Listen, we've got a mighty God. Why should I be afraid when I have such a friend? Nicodemus understood. Nobody could do what Jesus did. Listen, nobody could touch a leper. When a leper touched someone, it just made them unclean. Not so with Jesus. When a leper touched Jesus, or Jesus touched the leper became clean. He didn't spread his leprosy to Jesus. Jesus spread His righteousness to the leper. Aren't you glad we got one when He touches us, where our sin doesn't make Him unclean? Somebody said, why would He eat with sinners? I'm thankful He ate with sinners. Listen, when He ate with sinners and communed among them, His coming among us as sinners today doesn't make Him unclean. His being with us we are made accepted in Him. We are in the Beloved. And that's what Nicodemus needed to learn. He says, thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, listen, the Amen speaks here. And he says, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can you see the kingdom of God? You say, well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the Bible declares the kingdom of God to be righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. The Bible declares the kingdom of God to be where the king is and where the king rules and reigns. Can you see that the king is ruling and reigning? Have you sat in places where you feel the king is ruling and reigning? I can ride down the road in a van with two or three of God's little children talking about the good things of God and feel the king ruling and reigning and see the kingdom. I can feel it every time a little congregation of believers meet and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I felt it in nursing homes and in hospitals. I felt His presence in my life. You have too. And when we have seen that, it's an evidence that something must have happened in our life, and that is the new birth experience. A new birth is not something you get. This new birth is something that's done to you and on you by the Lord. And if the Lord hadn't done that, you can't see the kingdom. Have you ever seen the kingdom? Sometimes we get to church and I feel like I'm not getting it. You ever feel like you're not getting it? Do you realize if you ever felt like you didn't get it, it must mean you got it sometime or another? You ever thought about that? There have been times I get in the stand and feel like, well, I just haven't been blessed to preach. Well, how would I know what that feels like if at some point I had not been blessed to preach? Otherwise, I wouldn't know what it was not to be. And I'm telling you, when you're sitting in a congregation of believers and sometimes you feel like, well, it's just not as warm as it has been, or it's just not as good as it has been, then at some time it had to be good, didn't it? Or you would never know that. Do you know if He's ever dealt with you? I'm not done, but I got to stop. If He's ever dealt with you, He will always deal with you. If He's ever touched you, He will never leave you alone. And though you pull away like a disobedient little child, He'll chasten you and He'll correct you. But He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son here into this world. And everyone for whom the Son came and died, they will be born of the Spirit of God. And without that new birth experience, they cannot see the kingdom. They cannot enter into the kingdom. They don't have the eyes to do it, the ears to do it, or the heart to do it. And when the Lord sees fit to quicken one of His children, He doesn't ask a preacher to go preach to them in order for that to happen. He works by His power and in His way, and He does it when He wants to. He can do it in a mother's womb, or He can do it in the very last hour of a man's life. That's the kind of God we serve. And all the preacher does, and it's important what he does, because God called him to do it, is to tell you about it. And if the Lord hadn't touched you, you'll hate what He says. And it doesn't matter how pretty He makes it, if He's preaching the truth, you will continue to hate it. But if it means something to you, you might say, I hope He touched me. If it means something to you, let me say with an assurity, He touched you. And that's what He told Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Have you felt Him? That means you're born. And if you're born, it's to everlasting life, which means you'll never die. So do you have something to be happy for? Listen, you're going to die, go to heaven. That's why the hymn writer didn't say how sweet to die because he wanted to die and get out of here. He said how sweet to die because he recognized there's a heaven to go to, a better place. There's a Savior who has loved me so much that He died for me that one day I see Him in part now, but one day I'll see Him face to face and I'll be able to say, thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou hast done for me. And You didn't leave me where I was. Be like Him, brother, and be what? Satisfied. What a day that'll be. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
326.